Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
The Portfolio Committee of Correctional Services had a look at a couple of things, and one of which is the overcrowding in our prisons and the ways in which the country really needs to reflect on what has to be done around the overcrowding. And they're really interesting reflections on this. And we do have on the line the chairperson of the Portfolio Committee on Correctional Services, Khomozo Ramolobengi. And she is on the line with us. A very good evening to you. And thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me, and good evening to yourself and good evening to the listeners at home.
It's a very important conversation, and I know it's been ongoing, but I think there seems to be an urgency in what needs to be done in addressing the overcrowding, and most importantly, the realization, or at least the acceptance, that there's now little money. The infrastructure needs to be upgraded, and we still are getting the overcrowding in our prisons. So let's talk about some of the thoughts that you had and some of the things that came up in that meeting.
Meeting, you mean the press briefing or you mean the budget vote debate?
The budget vote debate, which is where you fleshed out at least some of the critical issues that you need to look into.
Look, as the portfolio committee, we have been recommending for the department since last year, and we really pushed hard from January immediately after our security cluster press briefing and our first meeting for the first quarter of this year, which was in February before the State of the Nation address, where amongst other recommendations, we would have recommended that as the portfolio committee, we want to amend a section in the Correctional Service Act, Section 73, subsection 1 and 2, where it talks to the length and form of an inmate who is sentenced or incarcerated in a correctional facility. And one of the reasons we wanted to do that, it was the growing number of foreign nationals that are incarcerated in our facilities. That's one, vis-a-vis the cost implication to that effect. And one of the reasons we wanted to amend it, it's so that the department will be able, through consultation with Home Affairs and international relations, enter into an inmate exchange programs with other countries and be able to send foreign nationals back to their countries of origin to serve their finality of their sentence in those countries. So that's one of the reasons why we wanted to amend, because the current legislation or the act will not allow anyone to be released in their facilities until you're finished to serve your sentence.
Yeah. And obviously, because that conversation is not happening, we are stuck here with the cost and no real plan and exchange with other countries, because we don't have that in legislation yet.
Yes.
I'm going to go around a little bit, even though I know that we are talking about the budget discussion, but you know, there are other things as well that have been brought up, and it's also the question, and I know Judge Cameron also spoke to this a lot, the issue of inmates who are in just because they can't afford bail, and those are minimal fees when you look at it. Those are the people who are around who need to be paying around 300 rand to 1,000 rand, and we are told it's about 2,500 people who are in prison just because they can't afford that, and proposals made about what could possibly be done, because clearly the offense maybe is not that big, but the numbers put pressure on the system.
Yes, the offences might not be big. It would be your petty crimes, either shoplifting or something, or an altercation between the families. So it makes the hands that would be given such small bail amounts. And yes, we are sitting with around 2,500 something inmates who are incarcerated, who are remand detainees in correctional facilities, who are unable to pay bail as little as 300 rands or 5 or even less than 1,000 rands. But what was a shocker to us as the portfolio committee is when we went to Polsmoor Correctional Facility in April and we came to a reality where they were housing more than 500. They had more than 500, and most of them were juveniles who had bails as little as 500 rands. And when we asked why are parents unable to bail out their kids, a response we got from the center was that parents would prefer their kids being behind bars, unlike in the street roaming around, because of they will continue to enter into or re-offend again, which will bring them back to prison or possibly get killed on the basis of activities or illegal activities that they enter into.
Yeah.
So those are some of the components that realities that the department faces. Who would be those who are doing drugs?
Yes, I was going to go there. Yeah,
they get into a situation where they need a fix.
Yeah,
because of their craving for that particular drug, and they end up doing something wrong. They get arrested. It's a petty crime. They get a bail of 200 rands or 300 rands. The system needs to care for such people. Parents would then therefore say, no, I'll prefer to have them or her in prison. By the time he gets out after a month, the withdrawal symptoms would have gotten out of the system.
And
whilst he is inside, it becomes a burden of the department. So JICS has introduced, or it's busy piloting, a bail fund.
Yes.
Right now. And I think if you had some time, Judge Cameron, to your studio, he would have unpacked on this because he has a passion for it.
Yeah.
So they have introduced a bail fund to deal with some of those petty crimes or to assist to bail out those who have petty little crime. Obviously, they have a requirement of those who qualify. If you are in prison for gender-based violence, obviously you don't, or for a murder, you don't qualify to be assisted with bail. So it's only those little minor petty crimes that bail. So also, that process would try to assist to alleviate some of the challenges that has to do with overcrowding.
And I suppose not everything I know was dealt with in these two meetings, both the the budget conversation and also the press briefing. But there needs to be, and to your point about Judge Cameron, a conversation more about who takes what responsibility. So you spoke about these young people who may be substance abusers, and because the society and parents don't know what to do, perhaps don't belong in a prison, but in another facility where they'll get maybe a rehab facility, where there will be, society will have other measures to correct that kind of behavior than a prison situation.
That's true. Social development needs to come on board to assist in that regard. If you have those who are arrested and brought in correctional facilities due to drug abuse, they should be sent to rehab facilities instead of correctional facilities, where they would receive proper support and care towards their journey of recovery. And possibly when they get to be reintegrated back to society or to community, they don't reoffend again, because if they will not require a fix, then that limits them to enter into any illegal activities.
Yeah.
So those are some of the areas that the department faces. Another element is state patients that are incarcerated in correctional facilities instead of being put in mental institutions or psychiatric institutions. So the Department of Health equally as well needs to come on board to assist the department. You have also remand detainees that are waiting trial for more than a year and 2 years, have not seen the day in court. The magistrate or the judges or the judicial or justice system equally needs to come on board and assist the department, whether it wants to try those inmates or not, and assist in easing the pressure of the department, which is the Department of Justice, equally that should come on board on that.
Yeah.
Home Affairs as well, together with the department on issues of foreign nationals that are incarcerated or sentenced in correctional facilities, which currently they're sitting at around 13,000, and you have around 12,000 that are remand detainees. So in total, around 25,000 foreign nationals that are currently housed in correctional facilities, with a population of 161,000 of inmates. So the department equally needs to enter into an inmate exchange programs with other countries for that process, together with Home Affairs assisting when such agreements are being created so that it becomes easy for deportation processes, including international relations. So there are a number of sister departments that must come on board, that must assist the Department of Correctional Service to try mitigate their current challenges as towards trying to deal with overcrowding in that instance. But equally, the department also needs to initiate some of these things with its sister department, not wait for Social Development, Department of Health, Department of Justice to come to them and say we're assisting. But we have taken an initiative as the Portfolio Committee to assist the department. And this, we have been echoing it since last year, that where the department and the executive lack ideas on how to mitigate the current challenges, we are going to possibly bring some solutions to them and assist in their current challenges. And one of those was when we took a decision that we want to amend the Section 73, subsection A and B of the Correctional Service Act to allow deportation of foreign nationals who are incarcerated or sentenced in our correctional facilities. That's one. Two, we have written to the Minister of Justice and Constitutional Development to talk to the awaiting trials for more than a year and 2 years. What is it that they're going to do about it so that equally it assists in easing pressure of the system? We are yet to write to the Minister of Social Development and Minister of Health. We now have written to the Minister of Public Works, which we are meeting next week on Tuesday, on issues of infrastructure, on incorrectional facilities and the user charge fee, which is a dispute between the department and Public Works. So once we're done with that meeting, we'll wait a date, because we have already written to the Minister of Justice, a date on her availability to lead a delegation with the department to come up here before the Portfolio Committee so that we can mitigate those challenges. Then after, perhaps in the next quarter when we come back from recess, we'll look into having the Minister of Health to talk to issues of state patients.
Yeah, because, I mean, for instance, we've missed out one other department, which is the Department of Police, in the sense that, you know, to what extent then would a police know what would be the appropriate action? So if a police catches me, for instance, with a handful of drugs at the corner and I am high on the drugs, would it be appropriate for them to take me to either the hospital, I don't know, or a facility, or to charge me and arrest me? You know, all of those things obviously being part of a collective effort to try and mitigate the problems that you've just highlighted.
That's true, but remember what police are entrusted to do is that once a crime has been committed, they should go and arrest. Whether you are on drugs or you are not mentally okay, when you are standing trial, there should be a process that identifies that process. What I'm familiar with is that once you are incarcerated or sentenced in a correctional facility, when you enter the 24 hours or 48 hours, the department does an analysis of you. It's saying, Motene, you are now sentenced, you are now a person who they must take care of in a correctional facility.
Yes.
Therefore, they do checks with you, your health status.
Yes.
Are you on drugs? If you are, what is it that they must do for your withdrawal symptoms? If you have any chronic illnesses, so that they need to put you on medication, continue with the medication that you have been taking from outside, all of that. So they do for 24 hours to 48 hours. Then it gives them a determination on what category they must categorize you. And that's where they're able to see whether you are a state patient, which they need now to isolate you from everyone else, because you might be a danger to yourself or a danger to those who are around you as inmates. If you are a drug abuse, they need to put you to the hospital or where they would incarcerate you so that you are able to go through the recovery process and all of that. So there's just a process that correctional services does when it receives an inmate from the courts, either as a remand detainee or also as incarcerated. So on issues of SAPS, when they decide to open a case, when they see you are a drug abuse person, I will not be at liberty to be able to explain.
I think it will need
those who serve in the portfolio committee of police.
Of course.
But what I can tell you is that all the departments are interlinked with one another.
Yeah.
It starts with SAPS.
Yeah.
It goes to the judicial. But whilst you are being trialed in the judicial, you are kept in a correctional facility. Then you get to be sentenced. You are in the correctional facility. Then if you are a foreign national, you have served your sentence. Once you are ready to be released, the department liaises with Home Affairs to start the process of deporting you back to your country, because they can't release you to linger around again in the country. So it's an interlinked process of the justice cluster, including international relations.
Sure.
So all the sister departments must be able to talk to one another assisting each other of their current challenges.
I've got someone on the line who has a question. Mpulo is in the East Rand. Hello, Mpulo.
Hello, ma'am. How are you?
I'm well. Please go ahead with your question. I'm well, thank you.
Yes, thank you, and hello to the MP. Maybe before I make my question, I just want to applaud the committee for the direction that they are taking currently, because it's been long overdue. Though they are focusing on certain part of the issues, but still, the issues are still a lot. Like, for example, issues of education, wherein it's easy to access NEFSAS when you're in prison, but when you're outside, it's very hard to access that NEFSAS. So they still have to engage and maybe make some amendments on that, on those issues. So now, I think I'm saying this because of previous experience of working in prison and together with working at a rehabilitation center, substance use disorder.
Okay.
So now my question, especially when it comes to the issue of substance use disorder, is that did they engage? Because currently what we are facing is not an issue of correctional services. In my experience, as when I was working at a rehabilitation center, you will find a patient coming seeking for an admission of a rehabilitation center while they are active parolees. Parolees meaning they have served a sentence up until certain time, but now they are still active and struggling to cope with substance use disorder outside. Then you'll find that they are referred by either the community correction social worker to the rehab. That is it's actually also another issue that needs to be attended to. The issue of Department of Health needs to come to play. Don't isolate them. The issue of engaging, as much as now you have engaged other departments, have you engaged the Department of Social Development in full, together with the Department of Justice? We do know that they've got probational officers there to deal with full deviation activities and maybe that will currently, in the meantime, help with the reduction of overcrowding in terms of awaiting trials. I mean, deviations can be done, and also, you know, can be it's those communication that can be done between the Department of Social Development, the Department of Justice, and then together with the Department of Correctional Services, looking at community corrections linking. And then the other issue is I wanted to also check as to did you also bring the Department of Education on board, higher education on board? Because, yes, they are, for example, there are issues, like I indicated, NEFSAS outside, it's difficult, but in prison, it's easy. How best can we match this? It seems to me that now a person must commit an offense for him to be able to access NEFSAS easily, which it's not how it's supposed to be. It should be easier for those who are really, really, really working hard and so forth. So those are my two questions to say, did you engage all those departments and you find maybe a plan in place as to what is it that is going? But the problem in my conclusion, the problem, there are two problems currently. Departments are working in silos. Number two, as a result, parents and families are frustrated. They would rather have a child being arrested than to seek other alternatives. Also, lack of understanding of certain officials, not all, but certain officials, in terms of if a case is like this, this is how we can deal with it. I mean, it burdens the parents because they are frustrated. They don't know what to do. I thank you.
Chair, I know, I mean, it's a lot, but maybe let's, to the best of your ability, respond to that.
Yeah, no, they are a lot. Somewhere, somehow, I even lost track of some of them. And I would sincerely apologize if I did not respond. When I spoke, I did indicate that we have not yet engaged with the Department of Social Development or try to write a letter in inviting them, including the Department of Health. And I said, for now, we had written to the Department of Public Works, which is the minister, to deal with infrastructure issues and correctional facilities that we have seen when we did oversight, especially in Gauteng and KZN,
the kitchens,
and Polesmoor correctional facility, which it's next week on Tuesday. We have also invited the Minister of Justice to talk to the awaiting trials who have more than a year and 2 years. We are waiting for a date when she will be available together with the department. So I even indicated that in possibly in the next quarter, when we come back from recess, we would then invite the Department of Health on issues of state patients and the Department of Social Development on issues of rehab facilities and assist. So what I would do is that the recommendations that he had put across, I will take them as notes for us to assist us as the portfolio committee in going forth in trying to mitigate. And fully agree with him that departments are working in silos. There is no interrelations or coordination or trying to work together in addressing issues that are coexisting in the department, and which makes it difficult. And hence, we took a decision as the portfolio committee that we are going to assist the department in trying to mitigate some of the problems. Yeah. But some of these mitigations, really, they were supposed to be done by the department or in engaging with the executive, engaging with another executive in other departments, including DGs talking to each other on some of these coexisting matters that interlink each other. So we do not want to become a portfolio committee that only raises questions and clarities, bashes and do all of those things, but we equally do not harbor any solutions or recommendations to assist in easing the pressure. Hence, I've made some of the recommendations that we've done to the department. Some they've adhered to them, which we appreciate, and we see some they are still trying, and which the latest one has been the review of the Correctional Service Act of 111-1998, and which would talk to the Section 73 that I would have alluded to, which would assist us on issues of foreign nationals. So those are some of the recommendations that we are making as the portfolio committee. On education, on NSFAS, I know I have received a lot of emails from inmates that would cry about them being approved for NSFAS and later being disapproved for it. So those who have been studying found it difficult in their second year to even continue with it or something like that. So it's something that I need to ponder and get real stats on them, on how many inmates we're sitting with that are doing higher education and have received their NSFAS, so that I equally, when I speak, I speak informed, and I don't speak on a narrative that tomorrow can get to be challenged. So it's something that I take home from his submission that I need to go inquire about, and possibly in the next interview when I'm invited back, be able to share some light on it.
And just to clarify, you're saying that you are seeing and you're having correctional service return back, is it next week? I beg your pardon. Infrastructure. I beg your pardon.
Yes, next week on Tuesday, we've written to the Minister of Public Works on issues of user charges, which is a dispute between the two departments, which has led to the Department of Public Works withdrawing its services on maintenance and infrastructure to the department. And you must remember, Public Works is a custodian of all government buildings.
Yeah.
And where it's not its building, it's the one that is responsible on the leasing process for rental. Mm. So it has withdrawn its services. So we are sitting with a dire state of correctional facilities across the country, which are dilapidated, have serious maintenance issues. Mm. Some are on the verge of collapsing. Like, we had to ask the department in one of our oversight in KZN when we made a recommendation that they must close down Medium A, Durban Westville Kitchen, because of the state that was in. It was not in a correct state.
I think it's in Gauteng
or
as well.
Good health condition.
In Gauteng
so
as well.
We then wrote a letter to the Minister of Public Works to come and talk to some of those infrastructural issues, including the dispute between the two departments. And he had agreed, and a date that has been identified, it's next week, which is the 15th of July, on Tuesday, 10 o'clock in Parliament. We are just waiting to confirm a venue where in Parliament presence, which would be in Cape Town.
Okay, I appreciate that. We'll follow up on that and we'll obviously keep an eye on that one. The chair of the Portfolio Committee on Correctional Services, Khomozo Ramolueng, and I think she's given us a lot to think about. I think it will be good after the meeting they have with Public Works to just follow up on that conversation and see, you know, how things are moving in that regard. So thank you very, very, very much for your time.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.